The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by North Valley Church of Christ.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad.
Ring it out.
Ring it out, ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true.
Ring it out.
Ring it out, ring it out, ring it out.
Ring out.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Redeeming the Time. I'm your host, Chris Macy. And I am the minister here with the North Valley Church of Christ. Well, we're going to be taking a look at Ruth chapter 2. And, of course, today is voting day. This is a great freedom that we have, an honor that we have in this country to be able to engage in this kind of practice of being part of our government, part of a society. And this is probably one of the most important things we have to do that really affects not only our personal lives, our families, our states, our country, but even the world. And I encourage you to do as many people are saying out there, you know, take a look around and ask that question. Are we better off than we were, what is it, 2 years ago? And I'm not asking you to vote ideologically, I'm asking you to use reason and think things through. That's all I'm asking before you go out. And of course, we don't pull the lever anymore, but place your vote and pray about this. Remember, no matter who wins, God is in control. And sometimes when we look at life, and things don't go the way we think they ought to be going, we wonder, what is going on? Am I being punished? Like, we're looking at the book of Ruth. Naomi thought she was being punished because of the things that are happening in her life. And as we open up Ruth chapter 2, we see it's like a puzzle. And life can truly be a puzzle and can be very puzzling. But when we get Jesus in his place and on the throne of our heart, then things do come together a lot better. Like puzzles and connected dots and tapestries, puzzle pieces don't make any sense until all the pieces are put in the right place. Connected dot pictures don't make any sense until you connect all the dots. If you look at the backside of the tapestry, all you see is chaotic stitching, strings and knots, but the tapestry maker sees the top of the tapestry, the other side, and that he is creating, or she is creating, a beautiful picture. And that's certainly how it must have felt for Naomi and for Ruth. What was happening in their lives seemed like an unfinished puzzle, a connect the dot picture, or the back of the tapestry. Now, last week here on the radio program, when we looked at chapter 1, we were introduced to Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And as we worked through chapter 1, we saw how God's hand fell hard upon Naomi and her family. That famine in Judah caused them to decide to move to Moab. But soon after their move, Naomi's husband died. Then her two sons decided to marry Moabite women. And then they died. One blow after another. Difficult times. And all that caused Naomi to say this in Ruth chapter 1, verse 13, where she said, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Now, Naomi had a strong faith in the Lord, no doubt. and believe that God rules in the national and the personal affairs of people. But when Naomi looked at the suffering she had experienced, the hardship and the heartbreak, she had lost hope that God was going to bring anything good out of all that she had suffered. She had forgotten about God's dealings with Job or Joseph or the nation of Israel, and how God brought blessings out of discipline and hardship. The things that happen in our lives are often a mystery, right? Or a puzzle. The underside of a tapestry to us. But these things are not like that to God. He knows all things, and He knows what He is trying to do in our lives. But you and I, we have to trust Him and allow Him to work. We do. Ultimately, as Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 29:11, God wants to give us a future and a hope. And as we brought the lesson, or the episode last week of, for the radio program, when we brought that to a close, maybe you remember we began to see a glimmer of hope and the future that God had in mind for Naomi and for Ruth. We began to see a glimmer of God's favor, even though Naomi and Ruth could not see it. God's favor and provision began to show itself in the lifting of the famine and the upcoming fruitful harvest in Israel. His favor is seen in the fact that Ruth would not be dissuaded from returning to Judah with Naomi. God's favor is seen in their safe return after a long journey fraught with danger. And finally, we'll see today, God's favor will be seen in a kinsman redeemer named Boaz. So chapter 2 of the book of Ruth opens with these words. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Okay, we will come back and talk more about Boaz in a few minutes. But it was important for the storyteller, whoever wrote the book of Ruth, to introduce Boaz at this point because of the way the story is going to progress. The important things we learn about Boaz from this one single verse included that he is, number one, a relative of Naomi's deceased husband, and that is going to be important later on. But we also learn that he's a prominent man. He's a wealthy man, a man of standing in the community. He's also a man of noble character. He's a good, godly man. Let's continue reading verses 2 and 3. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Okay. If anyone had the false notion that Ruth was going to be a burden to Naomi, then they can put that notion to rest. We see here at verse 2 that Ruth was no slacker. She had decided to stay with Naomi to take care of her mother-in-law. In that day, there was no social security, no cash welfare payments. A person had to either beg or find a way to work, and Ruth was ready to find work. We notice some important characteristics of Ruth at the beginning of the story. Number one, we notice that she doesn't have to be ordered to work. The Bible doesn't say, Naomi said to Ruth, "Get off your lazy behind, go out there and get us some food." How great is it that Ruth took the initiative without being asked? There have been a lot of parents over the years who wished they didn't have to ask their kids to work around the house or outside of the house. Number two, we notice that even as Ruth took the initiative, she did so asking for permission from Naomi. And this shows some humility and a desire to show respect to Naomi. Ruth didn't want to do anything without Naomi's permission and guidance. But notice also that Ruth didn't suggest that Naomi had to join her. She could have said, "I'll go out and work if you will go out and work." No. This may indicate that this kind of work was beyond Naomi's capabilities at that time. Or it may be Ruth wanting to make it clear that she was there to support Naomi and not the other way around. A final characteristic about Ruth that I want us to consider is found in the phrase, "after one in whose sight I find favor." Interesting. In that phrase, we see that Ruth was trusting that God would go before her and provide someone from whom she would find favor. That kind of positive, faith-filled attitude is good for us to have and develop. So having received Naomi's permission, Ruth went out and began looking for a field to glean from. And the text says that she just happened to end up in a field owned by Boaz. Huh. Just happened, right? What are the chances of that? What a coincidence. I mean, there had to have been 10, 20, 30 or more different field owners in the area of Bethlehem. And I wonder how many different fields she passed by before she ended up in that one. Now, we're not told that she prayed as she went seeking a field with favor, but man, I believe she prayed as she proceeded, which is always a good way to proceed in life, right? Ruth's suggestion that she go into the fields and gather grain behind someone is a reference to a common practice in ancient times called gleaning. According to Old Testament law, a landowner was required to leave a part of his crop in the field so the poor people could come in after the official harvesters and had done their work and then pick up whatever was left over. It was a form of welfare. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Excuse me. So this was how the people of God were instructed to look out for the poor. I like the fact that it wasn't really a handout, but was more of a hand up, right? Gleaning was hard work in the hot sun as the gleaners came into the fields that had been harvested and looked for what was left behind. So here we have Ruth. She goes out into the field to glean and just happened to end up in the field belonging to Boaz. Well, how about that? Look at verses 4 through 7. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what those servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing down to the ground. Oh, I read way too far. I apologize. I only wanted to go to verse 7. At some point during the day, Boaz comes to the field. Ruth had been working, and you know, why do you think the storyteller shares with us the way he greeted his workers? Isn't that, he comes in and, let me look at it again. He comes to Bethlehem, "May the Lord bless you." Why does he do that? What is he? He's showing us what kind of person, what kind of man Boaz is. And as he looks over the work going on in the field, he notices the young woman. And he asks the chief harvester, who's this? So he begins to sing her praises. She was very polite. She asked permission. She's a hard worker. She stayed on her feet all day. She only rested for a little bit in the shelter. And after hearing this, he talks to her and tells her, you know, not to go into another field. And when you're thirsty, you drink from their jars. And she falls on her face and says, "Why?" There in verse 10, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? So Ruth is no fool. She knows how foreigners are to the Israelites. There is no hint here that Boaz makes these offers to Ruth with ulterior motives. Not here. Later on there is. I think he liked her. But rather, the text does suggest that he is genuinely impressed with Ruth's work, her ethic, all he has heard about her, her care for her mother-in-law. And I think those are the things that is drawing his attention, obviously. And he will bring up in a moment. But the things that he gives Ruth permission to do are an incredible display of favor and generosity. Boaz gives her permission to stay in his field. She doesn't need to go anywhere else. And remember, Israel just came out of a famine. When you come out of a famine, a lot of these people, I'm sure, were gathering up and trying to store up for another possible problems and just thankful for what they've gotten. They're less willing to share. But he suggests that she work closely with his own female servants. In this way, she moves out of the place of a tolerated gleaner and is allowed to blend in with his own workers. She's not just getting the leftovers anymore. Boaz also instructs his men to not touch her. Those orders are meant that she was welcomed. She is now safe. She wouldn't be pushed away. On top of that, she could drink from their water jar, so she didn't have to go into town or somewhere else to find a well. She can stay right there and lose valuable harvest time. That's great. Ruth was humbled and astounded by Boaz's generosity. Why have I found favor with you so that you might notice me? I'm a foreigner. Ruth is a great example for all of us about how we should respond to God's mercy and His grace. Humility should cause us to always, always approach God with the attitude, why have I found favor with you? I'm just a sinner. Who am I that you would notice me, right? Just as, as David says in the Psalms. Tell you what, sometimes I feel like I still got COVID brain, right? Do you still feel that way sometimes? Brain not working? So back here to our text, looking at verses 11 to 13, Boaz basically says to her, when she says, why have I found favor with you? He's saying, good question. Let me answer that for you. So he replies, verse 11, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages. Be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Let me read that one again. Under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. That's important because we're going to see that again in chapter 3 next week. And then Ruth said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me. And indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Why was Boaz treating her with such generosity and compassion? Because Ruth had been so compassionate and generous with her mother-in-law. Often in life and often with God, we do reap what we sow, right? Ruth had sowed seeds of faithful love and courage and self-sacrifice, and now she was reaping rewards of gracious generosity. All Ruth could do was let Boaz know how much his favor meant to her and how comforted and encouraged she was by his favor. The other thing that Boaz brought up beyond what Ruth had done for her mother-in-law was the faith she displayed in God. He said that Ruth had sought refuge in God and placed herself under God's wings. Boaz understood that when a person runs to God for refuge, then they receive a full reward from God. Boaz became the conduit for God's rewards to Ruth. And that's another important thing. Notice how he described all the blessings that Ruth is getting in Boaz's field. May the Lord reward your work and your wages. Wait a minute, her wages are what he's giving her. But he recognizes, Boaz recognizes, all that he has belongs to God. And so whatever Ruth is getting is from God and not from Boaz. Boaz is just a steward. What a great attitude. What a great man. So he was just the conduit of God's rewards for Ruth. All right, Ruth went back to work. But at mealtime, Boaz approaches her at verse 14 and says, when she arose to, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain and she ate and was satisfied and had some left over. What a great meal. Probably the best meal she's had in a long time. And she had some left over. She's taking a bag home to Naomi. And here's how the story concludes. Verse 15, "When she rose again, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.' So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, 'Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz.' Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead.' Again, Naomi said to her, 'The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives.'" That ought to be one of our redeemers. Then Ruth said, Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Now, so you know what she gleaned, an ephah maybe not doesn't mean much, but that's 26 quarts of barley. Well, that's a lot for one day. That 1 quart of barley is the average day's wage for that time period. Fantastic. So she came home with almost a month's worth of wages in one day. Wow, what things are going good. And Naomi also informs Ruth, Boaz is his close relative, that's our redeemer. That means Ruth could marry him, or he could marry Ruth, I should say, and continue Elimelech's family's name. We'll discuss more about that in the next lesson for next radio program. But what a difference in the disposition and the outlook of Naomi in chapter 2 than chapter 1. And that difference came as a result of hope and trust in God. She went from doom and gloom to joy and thanksgiving as she began to see God's faithful provision. Naomi was beginning to complete the puzzle and connect the dots in the picture that God was drawing. I want us to think about a few things in application. We only got a couple of minutes, so I'm not going to get to all of them. But first, I want to encourage us to never give up, and especially never give up on God. We may be puzzled. We may be confused about why things are happening the way they are, but God is in control. We must never give up. The darkness of the night will give way to the morning of the light. The Lord can give us a future and a hope. Second, I want to encourage us to allow God to be our refuge and strength and put ourselves under God's wings. Psalm 57 verse 1, be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. And finally, I want to encourage us to welcome God's favor and then pass it on to others. Boaz had received God's favor and passed it along to Ruth. The famine was over, and instead of hoarding for himself, he blesses those in need. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves in the story, but Boaz and Ruth will receive God's favor and will pass it along the family line of David that accumulates into the coming of the Christ. God's favor comes to all of us through Jesus the Christ. Do any of us deserve to receive God's favor through him? No. And just like Ruth looked up into the gracious face of Boaz and asked, why have I found favor from you? We should look into the gracious face of God and ask the same. What is God's answer to why we have found favor from him? His answer is because he loves us and is merciful toward us. That's just who God is. God is love. And the favor we have received through Jesus must not be kept to just ourselves, but we must pass that favor on to others. God calls us to go into the world and to spread around his love, his compassion, his mercy toward a hardened and broken world. And boy, don't they need it today. There are so many who are living in the darkness of sin, in desperation and fear. So many are starving for love and compassion, and God can pour out his favor through us. We can be the conduits of his love and hope through the gospel of Christ. Let's keep our eyes open to the people around us whom God wants to draw into the kingdom through his love. Let us be sure we never give up. Let us be sure we stay in his shelter. Let us be sure we invite others to join us in entering his favor. May you be blessed this day, and may you always redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you, and God bless.
Ring it out.
Ring it out. Ring it out.
This program was sponsored by North Valley Church of Christ. To hear this program again, go to FamilyValuesRadio1010.com and click on the podcast page and find this program and many others right there on FamilyValuesRadio1010.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.